It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Now, if you've been following along with us, you've been studying with us in the book of Ruth. Well, now we're in chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, and we left off last time by looking at Ho Such a One. Boaz was a near kinsman, as we've read, but we found out there was a near kinsman who was nearer than Boaz, one who could redeem Naomi, and as Ho Such a One found out, he would not only have to redeem Naomi and receive the land and all that went with it, but he also had to marry Ruth. And this was something that he didn't want to do. He hadn't counted on that. He said, okay, I can't do it. I can't redeem. Well, see, first of all, he said he would, and then he said, well, I can't do it. He found out he would have to marry Ruth, and this just stopped everything for him. We left off last time, and I told you that in order for someone to be a redeemer, it's not only necessary for the person to be willing to redeem, but also to be able to redeem. And I said, thank the Lord, Jesus was not only willing, he was able to redeem us. He was able to redeem us and make us fit for the kingdom of heaven. He redeems us to himself. Well, there are many verses that we can read that talks about this, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, and we read that the last time. But in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been set free because Jesus Christ loved us so much, he redeemed us. Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Yes, Jesus Christ was not only willing to redeem, but he is also able to redeem. Well, now we look in verse 7 of chapter 4 of Ruth, and we see something about a shoe. It says, now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Well, we see here they're following a custom here. Of all Jewish customs involving shoes, I believe the most unusual and fascinating is that of the laws of the Jewish word. I'm just going to spell the word for you, H-A-L-I-T-Z-A-H. Well, I'm not Jewish, but there's a Jewish law, and it goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 through 9, where we read about that. It's when a married man dies childless, leaving an unmarried brother, and the brother is obligated to marry his widowed sister-in-law. Well, the rationale for that was called a levirate marriage, and it was to continue the name of the bloodline and the assets and the soul of this deceased brother. And through the subsequent marriage and children, this lineage would be carried on. And I would ask you later on, if you would, to read Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 through 10, and you'll read about that law. Well, in the case of Boaz and Ruth, and Ho Such a One, we see that there were no brothers around. You'll remember both the brothers had died. This is Naomi's sons, so there was no brother. So this fell to a near kinsman, and Ho Such a One was a nearer kinsman than Boaz, but he could not redeem. So we see here now, as we continue on and read this, something else about this shoe is about that it's a symbol of the transaction. This tradition is part of the color and romance of Jewish tradition in life. It's also a part of the spiritual tradition, and we see that I'm going to read this as well. Capital KABBALISTS describe the body as shoe of the soul. This is Jewish, of course, and just as shoes protect feet from the dirt, so too does the soul require the body as a shoe would protect it during the journey in the physical world. Well, I was thinking about this the other day. We say, oh God, how long am I going to have to put up with this old sinful body? I'm waiting for you, Lord, to come and take me home in the rapture of the church. Or if I die first and the body gives up the breath of life first, whatever it is, Lord, I don't want to go too soon, but this old body is giving me a lot of trouble. It's sick, and I just have a lot of temptations come into my life. Well, we sort of beat up this old body, don't we? But you know, we need to be thankful that God's given us this body. It's a covering for the soul, and it's a means for us to get around, and it's especially the means for us to get around and tell people about Jesus Christ. And isn't that wonderful when you think about it, that we can say that we have Jesus as our Redeemer, and we can tell others about Him? Well, as we've seen in verse 7 of chapter 4 of Ruth, the shoe custom was concerning redeeming, changing in order. And we see that this happens, it confirms all things. Taking off the shoe was a custom, and it was a legal binding transaction in Israel. We read in verse 8 where it says, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Well, this is an oath unspoken. A man's word should be his bond. We know that, and that's an old saying. Do you remember when someone would say, my word is my bond? Well, that's few and far between anymore, and that's not right. But who's such a one's bond, his oath, was taking off his shoe. He said, I'm saying that the transaction is finished and that Boaz can now have the responsibility and privilege of redeeming Ruth. That's what he was saying by taking off his shoe. But we continue on with verse 9 and 10, and we see the purchase taking place here. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, remember now, Boaz is at the gate, and there were 10 witnesses, and the people had gathered around. I'm sure they gathered around to see this transaction of business take place. Well, notice it says, and Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Well, we see this in other words, through the Redeemer, the dead shall live. Boaz said the elders and all the people were witnesses to the transaction that had taken place between him and who such a one. Boaz had bought everything that was Elimelech's, Chilion's, and Mahlon's from Naomi. In Ruth chapter 4 and verse 9, it talks about that, and we've read that. Well, Boaz not only purchased land from Naomi, he had also purchased Ruth. You say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right to me. Purchase? Well, that was a Jewish custom back then. Boaz purchased Ruth to keep the name of Mahlon alive. This was her dead husband, of course. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Now see, he's not speaking to Ruth now. He's speaking to the woman. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. See, the Bible teaches us that we are dead in trespasses and sins until we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, he purchases us from that. He purchases us from the dead. He purchases us from the slave market of sin, and we become his. Then one day, I spoke of death a few minutes ago, and do you know, for the Christian, the sting of death, the old stinger's been pulled. because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, it says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" See, the grave does not have dominion over me because I'm going to be with the Lord once this breath of life leaves me. I will be with the Lord whether he comes back in the clouds for me or however I go. I'm going to be with the Lord, and the grave is not going to hold me. It's not going to hold you either if you know Jesus as your Savior. We read about Mahlon, and Mahlon would be remembered because of the redeeming act of Boaz, according to Ruth chapter 4 and verse 10. We're remembered by the redeeming act of Christ, just as Mahlon is remembered by the redeeming act of Boaz. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." See, in the sight of God, we're alive. In the sight of the old flesh, the old flesh is going to die, but we will never die. The soul will never die because we're going to go to be with the Lord, and he sees us right now as if we're already in heaven. We keep reading here in Ruth, and we see a blessing here in verse 11 of chapter 4. It says, "And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman, that is, come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah." We see they're pronouncing a blessing here. It says, "Let your house be like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem." You see that word Ephratah? You look that up. It's in the Word of God, and you'll find that in the book of Micah. Bethlehem Ephratah. Look that up and read that. Read that chapter 5 of Micah. Well, we see here the blessing, and the elders and the people speak, and the people and elders present, and we see them presenting a blessing and said, first of all, we are witnesses. The transaction that the witnesses witnessed was between O such a one and Boaz and Ruth. And of course, Naomi. The people and elders pronounced a blessing on Ruth and Boaz in verse 11, the blessing that Ruth would be like Rachel and Leah. Well, why was this? Because through these two women and their husbands, Rachel and Leah, came the children of Israel. You need to go back and read Genesis 29, verse 16, verse 20, verse 25, and verse 27. You'll read more about that, about Rachel and Leah. But notice the blessing that Boaz would be honored in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. Well, in Micah, and I'm going to go ahead and read that verse now, Micah 5, 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Well, next time I'm going to pick up with this verse, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, and we're going to look at the birth of our Savior. We're going to look at the birth of our Redeemer, and we're going to see how this all ties together and where he would come from and what would take place before he was ever born, and how he was born, and why Ruth, the book of Ruth, Ruth and Boaz are so important.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.